And we see that the Sabbath is over. And again, that we talked about yesterday, who are the ones that come to the Lord? It's the women. Okay, so the women make their way to Jesus to kind of take care of him, you know, make sure things are running okay. They see the stone rolled away, and the angel of the Lord stands before them. And he says something interesting. He tells them, he says, go tell the disciples, right, and Peter, right? You'll see time and time again that the Lord constantly, you know, making a provision for Peter. And it's interesting that, I mean, he would in some way have to, you know, add him to this mix, because Peter at this point probably didn't feel like a disciple. You know, have you ever had a time where, you know, you were like, you know, really committed to the Lord, or you thought you were, and then you kind of fell away? Do you remember that? You know, and you maybe you made a mistake, or maybe you denied Christ, you know, in some form or fashion, and you got to a point. What is the first line of attack that the enemy usually operates in our lives? Right, it's the guilt, it's the condemnation. But one of the first things he does is he attacks our identity. Right, he tells us, "Oh, you're not a good Christian. In fact, you're not a Christian at all." You know, remember Jesus in the temptation. He attacks his. Remember, he says, "If you are the Son of God, then go ahead and do this." You know, and it seems time and time again when the enemy is you know, or we've opened the door to the enemy in some way, you know, one of the first things he'll do is he'll attack us in who we are. You know, and you're not a believer. You know, and at best, you're a horrible believer. You know, if you're the Son of God. And in this way, you can imagine what's going on with Peter. Right? You know, here is the guy, you know, he stands up and he says, you know what, I'm going to die with you, Lord. And he actually does fairly well. I mean, if you think about it, right? I mean, all the centurions come over to grab Jesus, you know, and he takes his sword out. You know, I mean, that's pretty significant, you know, a thing that he does. But yet, at the same time, my personal perception of those incidences, I think that like most of the other disciples, you know, most of the disciples that Jesus had, they were called zealots. You know, and what's meant by that word is that they actually wanted to overthrow Roman rule. You know, and so they joined Jesus because they thought he was a revolutionary. You know, they thought that eventually, you know, that he was going to bring back the Davidic kingdom, right? And so now Israel is going to rule the world once again. This is what we call, you know, I think the modern day, and it's not so flush into that now, but it's what we call the Zionist movement. You know, and so, you know, he has this whole thing. And so I think when Peter takes his sword out, he's assuming that Jesus is going to do something now. You know, in the same way Judas believed, and one of the reasons why, you know, he betrayed Jesus was that he assumed that if Jesus was backed into a corner, right, that he would now start fighting. I mean, they were waiting for this to happen, right? And that was their picture of the Messiah. That's why in many ways a lot of Jewish people during this time really rejected, you know, the idea of the suffering servant, because they wanted the power of the kingdom of David to come back to the earth. And you can imagine what's going on with Peter. You know, he's probably thinking he's not a disciple at all. I'm pretty sure he's thinking that God hates him. You know, did you ever feel like that? I know I have, right? When I felt like I disappointed God, you know, or I've disobeyed. There's a part of you that feels like, wow, God really hates me. You know, or God doesn't care about me, or now that, you know, and it's not so much that of God's emotions, you know, but it's me, because I've messed up so much. How can God love me? You know, kind of thing. And then when we come to our senses and God brings his grace to us, you know, honestly, that's what really changes us, right? When we find ourselves in an unlovable state, and yet we still experience the love of God. I mean, you know, there's. I mean, I'm not saying everyone should backslide or anything like that, right? But there's something to that, you know, because it opens up the door of grace, you know, into our lives. In the same way, right, that we cannot understand the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ nor his power if we don't recognize that we're also sinners. You know, if you don't have any need, you don't need a Savior, right? And so, You know, imagine the state Peter is just thinking, Jesus hates me. He's thinking I'm the biggest loser in the world. He's thinking, you know, I'm the most horrible person, that I'm not a disciple. And time again, the Lord, in this case, the angel, turns and says, call the disciples and Peter. Right? I mean, just going straight at the heart of what the enemy is dealing with in Peter's life. You know, and then you got the John passage, which really, you know, firms up what God is doing. You know, Peter denies Jesus three times, and Jesus affirms Peter three times. And it's like a beautiful exchange, you know, that's going on there. And so, you know, I'm on one side, you know, I mean, let's just be very straightforward. You know, as a follower of Jesus, there's nothing that you can do, you know, that will take you outside of the love of God. Even though the enemy will come in storms and, you know, and bring accusation and whatnot, you know, even if you failed him 1,000 times, right, the Lord never gives up on you, right? He'll never give up on us. You know, regardless of how awful we think our sins are, right, there's, you know, that's why God brought into the world this incredible, beautiful concept called grace. Grace is you get what you don't deserve, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? That there's nothing like it in this whole world. In fact, in a religious system, it's unheard of, right? You know, most of the religions in the world is a meritocracy. In other words, you earn it, right? You earn it, you work for it, and you get it, right? And in the Christian faith, we have this thing called grace, which supersedes, you know, any failure that we can have, because God always extends that grace to us, you know. And so, you know, you could see his care and his concern for his disciple, who just straight up, I mean, like, can you imagine? You just tell, Lord, I'm going to die with you, you know. And then in roughly in the course of about a day, right, you do the very thing that you said that you would not do. You know, and the crazy thing about it is he's afraid, you know, a guy that's going to die, you know, if you think in this context, a guy that's going to die with him is actually afraid of a little servant girl, you know, and the scripture tells us that he actually starts cursing, you know. I mean, what kind of craziness is that? But that's kind of what happens here. And then, now, another note, right, and we talk about this a few times here and there. A lot of people, we assume that if there's like a spiritual phenomena happening, and you may have done this too, you know, like maybe the first time you heard anyone speak in tongues, you know, or the first time you saw any kind of spiritual phenomena, and a lot of times we dismiss it because you said, you know what, I just didn't feel peace about what happened. And we automatically dismiss what God is doing because of what we're feeling, you know, or I didn't feel comfortable, or I was a bit afraid. Guess what? That's exactly what happened all through the scriptures when spiritual phenomena were taking place. You know, the angel of the Lord comes, you know, to this place, and, you know, the women, you know, are there, and then the disciples, you know, and constantly, right, it says, hey, don't be afraid. You know, in this passage, you know, the angel says, don't be amazed, you know, but basically, the condition was they were deathly afraid, because, I mean, it says so here, you know, in at the end of verse 8, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, you know, confused, perplexed, you know, all these things. And it's interesting that we don't see that in the scriptures like we should. And I say this as a commentary, because I've been around a lot of people. You know, and I talked to a lot of people, you know, about, you know, especially when spiritual phenomena is taking place, right? And you know, maybe it doesn't really come under their grid. And I asked them, well, you know, what did you think? What was your sense? You know, and what tends to happen a lot of times is people that grew up in the church that actually had not experienced that kind of phenomenon, you know, they make comments such as, oh yeah, I didn't feel peaceful about this, or I was afraid, or this or that, which is really a biblical response, right? I find that people actually that were not raised in the church, they love it. They're like, this is fantastic. You know, this is great. You know, I mean, this is what, you know, what I'm looking for. I mean, I want to experience God in this way. And so, you know, don't, in other words, what I'm trying to say is don't automatically dismiss, right? And this is the danger, and I don't want to make it sound so harsh, right? But you could very easily be calling light darkness. And in that case, you have to be very, very careful, you know, in relation to, you know, to those type of things. And just be open, right? And search the scriptures, right? And make sure that the phenomena, right, it has rooting in the Word of God. And so, that's a side comment. And so these guys continue on. The disciples are commissioned, right? Now, a lot of commentators want to say that the disciples, they made this whole thing up, you know, and they made this elaborate story about the resurrection and whatnot. Listen, in the scriptures, right, these guys refused to believe. You know, it wasn't a conspiracy of these men getting together and says, hey, you know, our leader is gone. You know, let's start this movement around the world. Let's tell everyone that he raised from the dead. You know what I mean? In other words, they didn't concoct some kind of lie. These guys refused to believe. You know, and you think Jesus shows up and what is it? He has to rebuke them for their unbelief. You know, and taking that, you know, even further, these guys really believed. They, you know, every single of these 11 guys, they actually died a pretty horrible death, except for John. But then John was boiled in a vat of hot oil, right? So I don't think that's very fun either. You know, but he actually came out of the oil without a scratch on his body. I mean, that's God's provision. You know, and John is actually the only one that's actually died of old age. But all these guys died horrible deaths. You know, Thomas died in India. You know, he was speared in the heart. You know, who was it? Bartholomew, one of the other brothers. You know, he was skinned alive, you know, out in the mission field. Peter died crucified upside down. You know, I mean, others were beheaded. I mean, these guys died horrible deaths. You know what I mean? I mean, just grisly. If you go to Fox's Book of Martyrs, right, I talked about the other day, you know, you can get the whole biography of the disciples and how they died. It was grisly deaths. I don't think they would die for a lie. You know what I mean? I don't think they would beg, you know, their tormentors to crucify them upside down so they could not die and, you know, they were not worthy to die in the same manner as the Lord Jesus was. You know, I mean, these guys laid their life on the line. And not just these guys, but, you know, subsequent, you know, generations after them of martyrs, you know, of church leaders, even happening to this day. Did you know in the modern day we're living in right now, in 2011, there are more people dying for their faith now than ever in the history of the church? You know, there was a study by the Voice of the Martyrs that said, you know, in this century, right? I mean, this is a pretty old stat, but over a period of, you know, 50-some years, more people had died for the Christian faith than all of the history of the world before it. I mean, pretty amazing, right? In this short span of time, there are more people being martyred for their faith than, you know, going from, you know, from the beginning of this, of the New Testament going all the way to, you know, to the 1900s. Pretty amazing, you know. And no one is dying for a lie. I want you to know, right? He is no fool who gives what he can, or who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose, you know. And you living your life and you giving your life to the Lord is not a loss. Though it may seem like a loss to the world, it's not a loss in the kingdom of God. Right, your reward will be rich, it will be great. And I'm not talking about numerically or financially, but in the fullness of life. And so he rebukes him, he sends him off, and then he gives him the commission. Go into all the world. Now, the word go, you know, very similar to the word in the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, right? This is the Mark version of the Great Commission. We in the modern church, we've made a missions movement, you know, in the sense that we've compartmentalized, you know, and this is my work, and now this is missions, and this is worship and whatnot. Actually, it's the same thing, you know, and the word actually is a present tense word. In other words, what the Bible is saying, what Mark is saying is, he's saying, as you're going, you make disciples. You know, he's not saying that you need to go from here to there, right? He's saying as you're journeying from here to there. Like we sometimes in the Western world, we have an idea of missions. It's like missions is in Indonesia. You know, like this summer, I'm going on a mission trip, right? And the reality is, the way the Bible's written, he's basically saying you're on a mission trip all the time. You know, when you're going to work today, you're on a mission trip. You know, when you are, you know, going to the restaurant for lunch, you're on a mission trip. You know, the word is, as you're going, make disciples, right? As you're going to the market, as you're going on holiday, as you're going, you know, to the spa, right? You know, as you're going shopping, you know, as you're going to have dinner with your friends. It's we're always on mission because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that same way, you know, when we follow Jesus, do we just follow him at church? Of course not. It's 24/7. And mission is meant to be lived out 24/7. And it says, go as you're going into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. You know, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved should be condemned. Don't misunderstand this verse, right? He's not saying that you need to be baptized to be saved. Because the flip side of that, then if that's what Mark is saying, he would have said, right, he who has believed and has been baptized should be saved. He who has disbelieved and not been baptized shall be condemned. Obviously, it's not the word that's being used there. And then these signs shall accompany those who have believed. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. If they drink deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I know if you've seen any kind of documentaries on kind of far-out religious movements, you'll always see, like, some crazy church in, like, Kentucky or something, you know, and they, like, you know, get snakes, and they start dancing. I don't really think that's what God was talking about there, right? Because the idea was it was in the preaching of the gospel. These signs shall follow those that believe, right? It's the word that he talks about is these are accompanying miracles, you know? And so it's not just for the sake of the miracle, right? It's they're an accompanying miracle. They're attesting to or testifying to the gospel that you are preaching, you know? In other words, when we're on mission, right, and what God is, you know, what Jesus is trying to tell us, when you're on mission and you are fulfilling that great commission, he says you can be assured that signs and wonders will follow you, that God will confirm his word, right, through the miracles, you know, through, you know, things not harming you, you know, through, you know, moving in signs and wonders, you know, through you being able to, you know, cast out demons, speak in new tongues, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just so we can have some toy to play with and, oh, this is really fun, right? It's in the presentation of the gospel, right? And be aware of that. It's like in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, right? God causes all things to work for good to those who love him and called according to his purposes. See, some people just read the first part and they think, that's all, I love this, so that I can do whatever I want and God's going to turn to good. Now, that's not what the Bible says. God says that he turns to good those who are called according to his purposes and that love him. You know, we forget the second part there. And in the same way, right, the accompanying grace, right, to the believer that loves God, that walks according to his purpose, is that God will redeem and work things out, even the bad things. Right? In the same way, the testimony, the accompanying, the attesting miracles, the things that will follow those that actually share the gospel. Not just sit in church and play with snakes, you know. I just don't understand that. It's just ridiculous to me. And things, but it's when we share the gospel, God comes through for us. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us as Mon leads us in a song of worship. on a couple of different levels. One, are you feeling condemned? Do you feel like you're being attacked in your identity? That's the devil, man. That's the enemy. You rebuke that word. You grab a hold of the cross. You receive His grace. And you move forward. We all make mistakes. The key is not making them again. But yet we will. When that happens, run to the throne room of grace. Maybe some of us need more power in our witness. You know how you get that power? You start sharing the gospel. And the power will come. And as Mon leads us, let's just meditate. And let's open our heart up to what the Spirit is saying to us.
With arms high and not abandoned in all.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God to continually draw us to Him. If there's any issues of our heart that maybe we are being attacked in our identity, just affirm your place and your standing in Christ. Not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is and what He's done for us. Can we just pray a moment for ourselves? Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for our local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for the churches here, the ethnic churches, the Cantonese-speaking churches, the international churches. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon all of us, and truly that we would be discipling people and loving people and sharing Christ with people, and our churches would continue to grow. Let's pray for YWAM. For sports services and for Ashanti Ministries. Pray for Jesse and Stefan and their team in China. Let's ask God's covering over them and on their DTS. Let's pray for face-to-face. Let's ask God to continue to bless them. They're having their retreat this weekend. Let's pray for the Lord to really move upon them and draw them. Let's pray for Zhengsheng College, for the students in the centers, and pray for Almond. Let's pray for Feed the Hungry, for Amanda, and for Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and Anil. Let's ask God to continue to use them to really bring about His kingdom in Hong Kong, all over this region. Let's just lift up our local ministries. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's lift up the worship team, the welcoming and greet and eat team. Pray for the men's and women's ministries and the local outreach. And let's ask God's hand to be upon each of the leaders as they lead, and also the people that are serving in these ministries. They would serve with joy and dedication and gladness, and pray for effectiveness, that each of these ministries would be carrying out their specific role and purpose, and they would be touching people's lives through it. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches meeting through this weekend. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight and for Beijing House Church on Sunday night. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them as they minister in community and love. Let's lift up this weekend before the Lord. Starting tonight, we have the beginning of our, it's our spring conference. And Pastor Eric Lehman will be sharing the word tonight at 8. And then tomorrow at 3 and at 7, you know, encourage your friends to come out. I think it's just going to be a glorious time. And God's really getting a real word for our church. And so I think it's just be fantastic. I can't wait. And so let's just cover, you know, tonight and tomorrow's sessions. Let's pray for our Sunday service. And Pastor Eric will be sharing both services as well. Let's lift up our IP team as they're meeting this weekend. Pray for a Cascade on Monday night. And ask the Lord's covering. Pray for our kids and Noah's Ark and the youth group on Sunday. And pray for God's hand to be upon them. And the kids would just grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let's just lift up our weekend to the Lord and just ask for God's covering and His blessing. And let's pray that really tons of people will be impacted this weekend for the kingdom of God, and they'd be changed and transformed. Just lift up this weekend. Lastly, let's pray for our move. Let's ask God to continue to bring just generosity, you know, all the way through. Some good news report. Yesterday, one of the buildings or apartments that some of our members donated actually got sold yesterday. And so, you know, praise God. It's actually the highest price ever in that whole building. And so, you know, the Lord is doing something. And so, you know, really praise Him for bringing that kind of provision to us. You know, we're also in the negotiation process, and if everything goes well, we'll actually move by this summer. And so it seems like God's really opening some doors for us right now. And but we really need to pray for the negotiations and just, you know, the timing of everything, and you know, finances that continue to come through. And so let's just lift up. We'll pray for the Vine as well. You know, they'll be moving in the last week of June, actually. And so praise God for just what God's doing with them. And let's just continue to lift up both churches in our both of our moves. So. God, we thank You so much, God. We thank You, Lord, that, God, no matter how often we failed, God, no matter how many times, Lord, that we've seemingly in our estimation disappointed You, God, that You're always there for us, Lord. You never leave us. You never forsake us, God. We thank You for grace, Lord, that's extended to Your people. And we want to be people that receive that grace, but also offer that grace to others, that we become a gracious community as well, Father. Watch over us this weekend, God. Be with Pastor Eric, Lord, as he shares the word of God with us. And God, you know, I'm just believing, Lord, that there's going to be an earthquake that happens in this church, God, through this weekend. And so we position ourselves, God, to receive the word of the Lord in our lives, Father God. We thank you. Watch over us this weekend, Lord. We just pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, to understand all that's going on and around us, and that we could be a part of your work, God, and carry your kingdom with us wherever we go, Father. Lord, especially we just want to lift up our church move to you, God. And we're entering into a pretty heavy week of talks and whatnot. We just pray a covering, Father God, and the wisdom of God would flow through us, Lord. And hopefully, God, that we'll have a new home very soon as a church. And so we thank you for that prospect, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah, please come out tonight. Invite your friends. It's going to be a wonderful time. And have a good rest of this day.